I love our next guest. He makes me so happy. Roger Bossert is the head groundskeeper at Guaranteed Rate Field. Roger Bossert is known around Major League Baseball and everywhere in the world as the Sod Father. And the Sod Father joins us now. How are you, sir?
Hey, Pete. You know, I'm doing well, thank you. You know, any other time, if this was another time, I'd invite you down to the park and help me water the infield for Yo-Yo Moncada, Timmy Anderson, and Jose Abreu. But being this pandemic is around, I guess there's a few other things on our mind. Actually, it's been certainly a different year for me. You know, usually I come home from spring training, and the first thing I do is usually around March 12th or 14th and throw down some ammonia nitrate, ammonia sulfate, and I actually, what I'll do is I'll take some charcoal and I'll mix it with water and I actually spray the field black. And these three things together will give me an extra 8 or 9 degrees heat, bring the plant out of dormancy so that we've got a nice green field for opening day. I mean, opening day is big for the groundkeeper, but
right.
This year I didn't do any of that. I will say this, so I'm still going down 4 days a week. I mean, Pete, I got to take care of my baby.
Well, of course, I was going to ask you. So you've been down there. How does the field look on the south side?
Yeah, I'm in real good shape. Thank you. Jerry Reinsdorf did the perfect thing when all this came out. I mean, he closed shop. We've actually only got 4 or 5 people there every day, and that's about it.
Right.
And which was a great move on Jerry's part. But, you know, being you're talking about a plant, a living thing, you know, I've got to be down there and take care of it. I'm in good shape. I mean, I'm ready for the guys to come back. I'm not sure when that's going to be.
Yeah.
But I'm doing my mowing procedures. I've actually, I'm spraying. I'm doing what I've got to do to keep it going, Pete.
I love having you on because I get so excited talking about lawns. I mean, guys are very simple creatures. We want a clean car. We want a perfect lawn. I live in the city. We've talked about this. My lawn is the size of your master bathroom, but I have a small lawn and I have the parkway, and I just applied my spring fertilizer, the pre-emergent.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my question for people listening. By the way, if you have a question for Roger, some of the calls are coming in right now. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. If people haven't applied their fertilizer, their spring pre-emergent, is there still time?
Yeah, there is. You know, let me say this. I'm going to run through a few things here for the people. I think when you talk agronomics, there's a number of things that should be done to the plant, to the soil strata. However, certainly the first most important thing is aerification. A lot of people are under the premise that, well, I'll just do it in the fall. I like it when they come in and do it in the spring and fall. What this allows is it allows the release of your methane, your hydrogen sulfide gases. It allows the release of moisture when you get a little water, rain, whether you're watering or not. It allows the moisture to get down to your feeder and tap roots, which is obviously for the health of your grass. But aerification is the single most important thing, but do it 2 times a year.
Oh, no. I only did it in the fall. I didn't do it in the spring. So I already applied my fertilizer. Can I still do it?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Let's talk a little bit about fertilization. Obviously, Pete, I can talk for hours on this kind of stuff. We don't have that kind of time. but I like a pre-emergent. This is the time. You have to remember that over a course of a year, the weed seeds move 3/4 of an inch in your soil through a year. And this is, of course, from the heaving and during the winter and in the summer when you're doing different things. That seed is looking for daylight. Once it sees daylight, then you're going to come up with either a dicot or monocot weed. That's why when you see a lot of professional fields, God forbid, or let me say this, Pete, let me say this. It's like my lawn. God forbid, if I ever get a dandelion on my lawn, I can't tell you that I hear from the neighbors. So
I make sure
that I have no dandelions. But this is a time for pre-emergent. And pre-emergent is that's put down for certain weeds. Now, there's what's called dicot and monocot. Am I getting too deep here, Pete, for you?
I love it, but yes. So we do have to get to some of these calls. People are already calling in, but go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, this is the time to put down a pre-emergent. Also, when it hits about 68 degrees, tell everybody that's the time to come in and shoot your grass, spray your grass for your dandelions, clover, stuff like that. That's called your dicot weeds.
Okay.
when you come and do that kind of stuff, when you're taking care of your dandelions and clover, you don't want any moisture for 24 hours so that the chemical can get to the plant and kill it.
Wow. So your father was the original sod father, right? He worked for the White Sox and you came and worked there. Is that the story that I remember?
Yeah, it started with Grandpa in 1933.
Oh my gosh, you're kidding.
No, Grandpa was the head groundkeeper of the Cleveland Indians from 1933 to 69.
Wow.
He had three sons. The youngest one was my dad. He came to the White Sox in 1940 at 23 years old. I don't know how he did it. I always told him that. I don't know. 23. My two uncles were with the Cleveland Indians afterwards. My cousin was the head groundkeeper with the Yankees.
Wow.
And then there's me. There's three generations. Hey, Petey, I'll tell you what. We fooled everybody for a long time.
You figured it out. That's what I love. Roger Bossert on the phone with us. He knows everything there is to know about grass. If you have a question, 312-981-7200. Let's go to Jesse. Jesse, what's your question for the sod father?
Hi. I was wondering, how can I get rid of my marsh marigold without pulling it out with my hand? It's got a bulbous root. Do you know what I'm speaking of? It's got the yellow flower.
I do. You know, there's a product on the market, but I refer to it as a hot product. I'm sure you might have heard about it. It's called Roundup. The problem with Roundup is that'll take care of you. That'll kill that plant. But you've got to understand that anything around it, it would kill also.
Right.
Because the plant you're talking about isn't looked at as a dicot or monocot weed. It's a special different plant. So if you can go to the store, get a little Roundup, but make sure you just spray the one plant, because it literally will take away all your grass or whatever you've got in the area, and make sure that it doesn't water after you put the product down, because the water literally will split part of the chemical apart and it'll move.
What about Weed Be Gone? Can you use that?
Yeah, you know what? Weed Be Gone's not a bad product, but it would not take care of her for that. That's the plant she's talking about. It's sort of a tough plant to get rid of, to be quite frank with you.
Oh, boy. 574 area code. Ask the sod father, what's a good all-in-one fertilizer for vegetables and flowers?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You know what? I'm a big fan of Scotts.
Okay.
Scotts has some good products.
Yep.
Let me say this about fertilizer, though. The programs that people put out, like Scotts, and I'm certainly not here raking anybody over the coals, they have a fine product. They'll claim to just fertilize your lawn four times a year. That's completely out as far as I'm concerned. I think you have to have supplemental products to go with those four times a year, in my opinion. So what's that going to do with the extra fertilizer? When people look at the packages, there's three numbers in the front. That's nitrogen, phosphorus, and potash.
Right.
There's a total of 17 positive nutrients. Well, when you get a number, I like a fertilizer where the numbers going across are close to the same, maybe a triple 10, a triple 12, because, and I've been to these plants, I do a lot of consulting for these people. When you get a number like that or a bag of fertilizer like that, it also has minor nutrients in it. So you're literally taking care of everything that the plant would need, the uptake of the plant that it would need as far as nutrients.
My wife's general rule is don't plant flowers before Mother's Day because it's always cold. So next week we'll start planting. So get the one with the triple number.
Yeah, I tell you what, Petey, that's the only way to go. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I consult for a lot of other teams, and I know a lot of groundkeepers. They're like I am. They like sticking with the three numbers because you're assured of getting the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potash in there, but also you're
okay.
Getting the minor nutrients, the zinc, the magnesium, stuff like that.
Right. What do you think of Milorganite fertilizer, which comes from the Milwaukee waste plant?
I know Milorganite really well. I tell you what,
do you like it?
Yeah, you know, I do. I don't use it anymore. Last time I used Milorganite was about 4 years ago. We had a lot of snow 3 days before opening day, and I actually used Milorganite to help melt the snow. But it's a cheaper product, but I'll tell you what, it'll give you a quick green up.
Well, my question is, I did the pre-emergent now, and since comes from the Milwaukee waste plant, the Milorganite, you can use, it's not going to burn out your lawn. So can I use this once a month to keep my lawn green?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Oh, of course. Of course. And it's not an expensive product.
Right.
It's you know, you got to remember there are products on the market that some people are charging $35, $39 a bag. That isn't a necessity. Please believe me when I tell you that. There's some fine materials on the market that are much cheaper that will give the people and the plant the nutrients that it needs.
Got it. Roger, I'm going to have you hold on. We're going to take a quick break. We have questions about Creeping Charlie. Someone needs to get rid of moss. Got some great questions here. Can people follow you on Twitter? Are you on Twitter?
I am not.
I mean, that would be a great follow. I would be your number one follow on Twitter if you were. Roger Bossert on the phone with us, the head groundskeeper at Guaranteed Rate Field. If you have a question, we have two lines open, 312-981-7200. On the phone with us is the head groundskeeper at Guaranteed Rate Field, Roger Bossert. We're getting text messages about you calling me Petey. That's just the way it is. I mean, we all have nicknames for each other, don't we?
What?
The sod father, you know. Petey. I like it. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, before we take some more calls, is there anything that the players ask you or is anything special you do for the players?
You know, that's a great question, Pete. Bill Beck once said years ago he thought a good groundkeeper is worth 6 to 7 games. I don't know if I would say I'm worth 6 to 7, but my family, being a third generation, we like to feel we're worth at least 3 or 4. And how that is, I mean, I talk to Ricky Renteria almost every day, and people have to understand that the good groundkeepers are the guys that it's not just tricks of the trade. I mean, I will say one thing. I don't want Jerry Reinsdorf to get mad at me telling a little secret, but if you'll notice, in the last couple of years, I've had some good years. My third base line, there aren't too many balls that go foul, Pete. And so you try and take a, I had a good year last year. I was 3 for 4.
Yeah.
And in the Tony La Russa era, I literally, there was one season I probably changed the height of the infield grass probably a dozen times. And so the reason why that is, of course, if you've got guys that are, you know, if your team is a good hitting ball club, you want it a little bit, you want the grass cut lower. I've actually cut my bluegrass. My average height for the infield of my grass is usually around 7/8 to 1 inch. I've cut it, to be quite honest with you, around 9/16 at time in hot weather. And I will say this, that myself and Walt Riniak have had, when he was with us, obviously one of the better hitting coaches in all of baseball.
Right.
He used to like to have it like AstroTurf. I never liked it quite that low, but that's what you did to help the team win. I mean, there's all those kind of things that are done. And I will say this to all the listeners. When you look at the field, say to yourself, where is the batter's box? Is it actually where it's supposed to be? Could it be maybe 3 inches forward or 3 inches back? Remember, if it's 3 inches back, the hitter sees the ball.
Oh, yeah.
That portion of a second longer.
Right.
And another one. I don't want to get off our grass.
Yep.
What we've got going up. Okay. The other one is, are the bases actually 90 feet all the time? If they were 89, who would know? But if you've got a fast team, that 1 foot makes a difference.
It's called home cooking.
I'll leave that at that. Okay.
I love that. Roger Bossert on the phone with us, head groundskeeper at Guaranteed Rate Field. Before we take these calls, I wanted to ask you about grass seed. Lou Manfredini, who's Mr. Fix-It here on this radio station. I think Lou knows everything about everything. He recommended Black Beauty Grass Seed by Jonathan Green about, I want to say about 8 years ago to me. I feel like that is one of the best grass seeds I've ever used. It works nonstop if you need to fill a patch.
Well, you know, there's over 265 different type of bluegrass cultivars on the market. And the one he's talking about, I would not use, to be honest with you, because the durability and resiliency for athletic play, it does not hold up for. Remember, when I go in and I've built quite a few fields. And
right.
When I do that, I have to think of the athlete and the prowess of the athlete when he's running on the grass, the durability, the resiliency of the plant. And that certain cultivars might be great for the homeowner, but not for my specific needs. But there's so many bluegrasses on the market, to be quite honest with you, Pete, that and a lot of them are good. What you want to look at is, what is the seed you want to use underneath the tree line? I mean, there's so many people that have problems. And I,
yep,
believe it or not, the calls I get at the park, I'm one of those people that, the way I've been raised, I guess, I return my calls because I understand that people have problems. One of them that I hear is, what do I do with the shade of a tree? Well, it's real easy to tell someone, you know, bring someone in and they'll cut half the tree down. Well, you know what, Dad, you can't do that. I'll give you a little trick. Obviously, you want to thin out the tree a little bit.
Yes.
The trick is when you've got a tree trunk, you go out 1 foot from the tree trunk, and you start making holes. Take a broomstick, if you will.
Okay.
This might sound antique-ish.
I'm writing notes. I'm taking notes.
Okay,
go ahead.
It might sound antique-ish, antiquated, but it works. If you take a broomstick, make holes going down 6 to 8 inches deep. You're starting a foot out from the tree, and you make a circle with these holes 1 foot apart.
Okay.
You fill it with high nitrogen fertilizer. Earlier, we were talking about the numbers on a bag, 10-10-10,
yep.
8-8-8, whatever. Well, get something that's in the 20s. You go out 4 circles around the tree, and you fill these holes with a high nitrogen fertilizer, and you literally will see a difference approximately 3 to 4 weeks later. It makes that much of a difference. What happens is when the tree starts, when it's small, you don't see it. But the roots are so succulent as far as wanting to obtain nutrients out of the soil for the tree itself, that it literally draws everything from the tree. So I would start this if you got trees in your lawn and around your house and your lawn is thin. They've got seed out that is shade seed. Some of it works. Here's where we're at in the Midwest with the bluegrass plant that you're going to use a bluegrass seed. If you don't get 2.5 to close to 3 hours of sunlight a day, relatively, I'd like to see more in the morning, but I'll say through the day.
Okay.
Your chances of your lawn being thick, lush, let's say like U.S. Cellular,
yep.
are very thin. So come in and try the things that I've talked about here by just making the holes in the ground. Once again, it sounds a little crazy, but it actually works. I'm a Purdue boy. I'm an agronomist from Purdue, and these are the things that years ago, you know, you learn. And then, of course, with my dad and grandpa, everyone helped me.
Right.
They do work. And let me say this, too. And once again, I can get on a roll here, and I don't want to bore anybody talking about this stuff. But it's like I'll get calls from people and go, you know, my grass is dying out in the middle of summer, but I don't want to water it, you know, because the sun's out, it's too hot. Gosh, that's the old wives' tale.
It is. You got to water it.
If you see your lawn starting to burn, get brown, go ahead and throw some water on it. But the key to watering your lawn is you don't want to water before 3 a.m. and you don't want to water after 11. I'll say from 3 a.m. Water your lawn from 3 a.m. to about 9 a.m. in the morning. That's the perfect time to water your lawn. And the reason for that is it's time for the water to saturate your soil strata. So the water's going to stay down there. When the sun breaks out at 5:30, 5:40 in the morning, it's going to dry off the top of the plant, which is what you want.
Yep.
A lot of people in the past years have been getting diseases in their lawn. And the reason why is they start watering at 9 o'clock at night, and it shuts off at 3 a.m.
Yep.
So now your soil strata, your soil structure is just saturated with soil. You get that heat and humidity, and all of a sudden disease starts popping. And the majority of people don't understand disease. We've had some, at my park last year, I probably sprayed 16 different times. Certainly, I'm a little bit different. I'm maintaining a field for guys that are making $20 million
a year. In Major League Baseball, yes.
Yeah, exactly. But what I want to get across to the people that you've got to, if you water at the right time, you're eliminating some of the potential factors
yep.
that could happen, the unknown factors that you don't know about. And let me say this, too. Let's talk real quick here. I don't know how much time we've got about grubs.
Well, I want to, before you talk about grubs, I want to go back to the grass seed that you use at Guaranteed Rate Field. What can we use in our front yard for kids that are playing in our front yard?
I use 3 different seeds, but the main one is called Blacksburg.
Where do I get that? Blacksburg.
Yeah, Blacksburg. Once again, it's in the bluegrass seed family, if you will.
Okay.
I don't know. A lot of the stuff I get, I actually grow my plant up in Wisconsin.
Of course you do.
You know? You know, Petey, listen, you know, I don't want you to get mad at me. If you want me to come and look at your lawn, I will. I'll say it online. Okay, all right.
I'm going to send you a picture. I will. I'm going to send you a picture this year. It's so funny. I could listen to this all day, but I do have to take calls. Every line is full. We'll get to that in a second. Let's go to PJ. PJ, thanks for holding. You're on with Roger Botzard, the sod father. What's your question?
Roger, thank you for taking my call. Creeping Charlie is the bane of my existence, and we've tried, you know, back when it was small patches, we tried pulling it by hand, and that kind of helped, but now it's half of our lawn, and short of getting a backhoe and ripping it, the whole lawn up, I don't know. We've tried Roundup, too. What else you got?
Creeping Charlie.
Yeah, I know. You know what, PJ, good luck.
Oh, no. What? Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, Creeping Charlie is out west. They've got the grass called it's Bermuda. And there's another, and I'm not going to bore you here with Bermuda plant, but what I want to get to is Bermuda plant is a rhizomatic plant, and that's what Creeping Charlie is. And it's so, so hard to stop. You're probably the fifth person that I've talked to this year that has mentioned to me about getting rid of Creeping Charlie. And Roundup is the best, the hottest product on the market. If you're looking to get rid of stuff, as I mentioned a little bit earlier during this program, that is the only way to get rid of Creeping Charlie. You can pull it out from now to doomsday, PJ, mm-hmm. and you're not going to get that stuff. You've got to, what you got to do, you got to find the base. And when I say the base of Creeping Charlie, where did it start from? And I would go to that area there, and I'd round up the heck out of the place.
Oh my gosh, you're kidding! So you, no. how do you find the base, Roger? How do you find it?
You have to follow. It's the rhizome. You have to follow that plant
okay.
to where it's coming from. Creeping Charlie is one of the most difficult things. It's amazing to get rid of, and I know that for a fact. To me, it's almost a duplicate of a Bermuda plant when it spreads, when it's not maintained. So, PJ, I feel for you, kiddo.
Wow.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
I hate to tell you to get out there and keep pulling it out, but that and try and find where its home is at, where its base is at. You got to get it from there, kiddo. It's very difficult.
Thank you, PJ.
All right. Thank you, dear. Bye-bye.
Oh, you're welcome.
And, Roger, is Roundup safe? Is it still safe?
Well, you know, it's out on the market.
Yep.
You know, it's on the market. It's the kind of thing where I don't want my little six-year-old around, to be quite honest with you, Pete.
Mm-hmm.
But it heals a lot of wounds
okay.
in your lawn. A lot of the problems that you have, it actually takes care of it quite quickly. But once again, you've got to watch it because a lot of times people will use Roundup to get this little weed over here, and if you have rain or some type of moisture within 24 hours after that, it actually leaches away, and it'll actually leach to maybe a foot away from where you spray it, and if you got grass near there, it actually will take out part of that grass. So
sure.
When I use the term hot product, it actually is.
Okay, let's go to Pam. We got to bang through these. I mean, we have so many calls. Pam, what's your question for Roger?
Hi, yes. We have two big trees in our front yard, and the shade, obviously there's a lot of shade, and it's taken away the grass, a lot of it, but we have moss growing in its place now. And it used to be little patches here and there, like really small, but now it's like almost the whole front lawn is moss. What do I do?
Yeah, it is moss. And your problem is it's all weather conducive, Pam. It's
yep.
you actually you describe, you're the doctor here, kiddo. You describe the problem perfectly. When you've got the tree, you have a lot of moisture that is held underneath the tree, a lot of dampness during those times, and the moss comes out. And moss is another one of those things. It's not Creeping Charlie, but it's extremely difficult to get rid of. And I actually can't tell you a product on the market that's going to get your moss and not kill your grass. Moss is another one. It's all weather-related. Well, I should say weather and tree-related, kiddo.
Wow. Sorry, Pam.
Shoot. Okay.
Sorry,
well, thank
Pam.
You.
So, worst case, she rips it up, sprays it with Roundup, lets it sit for a while, adds new dirt, and starts over. Is that right?
Yes, that would be the proper thing.
Okay.
Before I would rip it up, I'd actually round up everything.
wow.
Yeah.
When the sod father says, I'm sorry.
I don't know how big the tree is or where the roots are.
Right.
When I want to make sure, and let me clarify this. I don't want you to come out and soak the whole lawn.
You don't
want to
kill the tree.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's what you do. actually a lot of sport fields. I've been involved with a lot of sport fields where at the high school or college level where they actually have so many weeds, it's not worth it to come in and just dig everything out. And do, so what you do, you come in and you kill everything you've got, and then you overseed from there.
Wow. Roger Bossert on the phone with us. He is the head groundskeeper at Guaranteed Rate Field, of course, White Sox field. Mike, you're on with Roger. What's your question?
Hey, Roger's field, I'm looking forward to seeing it sometime this year.
We all are, yes.
I got a question about a garden. I don't know if you're a vegetable garden guy, but I put in some horse manure last fall, and I tilled it in. Is that good for the garden? And I hear it causes chickweed. And how do I keep up with that?
I'll tell you what, the horse manure is very good. Years ago, my father used to tell me stories. You know, you go back to the early 40s, they didn't have the type of fertilizers they've got on the market.
Right.
He actually used to use that stuff. No, there's no problem with that at all. That's actually excellent for you. That's a good move. As far as the chickweed, that's easy to get rid of. That's just get a little bit of 2,4-D or Trimec, and you can get rid of the chickweed. But
okay.
You know what? You're my kind of guy. I mean, I don't know if you live on a ranch or not. But
yeah, I do. I have 5 acres, and my garden is about 100 feet by 40.
Wow.
And I'm planting all kinds of tomatoes and peppers and stuff like that. I make my own sauces and marinades. And
that sounds fantastic, Mike.
You know what? You're my kind of guy. Let me say this. If for some reason, if the season doesn't go, and Jerry tells me to cut down, do you mind if I give you a call?
Hey, you come out any time, I'll take you fishing, too.
I'll take you fishing. Thank you, Mike. Have a great day.
All right. Take care.
That is so funny. Let's go to Nancy. Nancy, you're on with the Sod Father. What's your question?
Yes, thank you. We have 3 large dogs, and the trees aren't an issue, but they tear up the grass constantly, and if it gets wet, then it's all mud, and I'm just wondering what kind of grass we could grow.
She needs thicker grass.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, with dogs, and I'm an animal lover, so I like hearing the 3 dogs. First of all, the female dogs are the toughest on the grass. Their urine, when you see the little brown spots, that's mostly from the female dogs, the female urine. So that's the female dogs, and obviously you can't get rid of it because you know you want your dogs out there. It's very, very difficult for me to answer that question. I'm trying to think of a quick response. Everybody has this kind of problem that has animals or that has dogs. You know, you sort of try to segregate part of the lawn at one time or another. I think your problem is that you've got to let them out there. Yet, what do you do? Your question to me is, what do you do? They're digging up the lawn. You know, can you keep them off part of the lawn for a week to let part of the lawn grow, you know, sort of recharge itself, if you will?
So just go back and forth. So just section off an area.
Exactly. It's like with the kids' soccer and the soccer goals. You tell them, you know what, every other week, move the goal over.
Right.
So you know, stuff like that. And it's, but when you got animals, and once again, I'm an animal lover. I have a female dog myself, and she does me in pretty good here, but it's part of having dogs, to be honest with you.
Let's do one more. This is Molly. Molly, what's your question for Roger?
Hi, Pete. Hi, Roger.
Hi,
you
Molly.
How are you? Boiler up, by the way.
Yeah.
Boiler up.
I like that. Okay.
Grew up in Indiana.
Okay.
I have a female dog, about a year old standard poodle, and she is killing the grass because she likes to urinate in the same spot over and over. I've heard lime to neutralize it. Does that work? Do you have any other suggestions?
You know, lime will neutralize it, but it's not going to bring everything back. It's
okay.
sort of a harsh scenario. You know, there are things, let me say, once again, I'm an animal lover, and I know they tell me that there are things that you could give the dog that actually will make the urine not be as strong.
Yeah, I've heard some of those aren't great for the dog, though.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's why I was just going to say that I could never do that. We've got a little Maltese, and God forbid if I end up hurting a Maltese, I get kicked out of the house.
So there's really nothing you can do, is there?
Not really. No, it's just, you know what? Hey, listen, animals are part of the family.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it comes with it. There's not, especially with the females, there's not much you can do. And, you know, and I don't want to put anything down that's going to hurt them. So you sort of deal with it. And I'm sorry to give you that if it seems to be a blasé reference. I don't mean it that way.
It's
I
all just, you can do.
We
love our dogs,
do.
And there's nothing much you can do. We always get thousands of responses and so many calls, but someone just texted in, I used to cut the sod father's grass at his house. I worked for Woods Landscaping. Ask him if I did a good job.
Yeah, he did. I remember Woods Landscaping, but they're not with us anymore, so I don't want to go any further than that.
Okay. All right. Roger, it's so great to hear your voice. Thank you for coming on today. I really appreciate it. I'm glad you're safe, and we can't wait for baseball on the South Side.
Oh, Pete, it was my pleasure. I more than happy. And please, when you come out this year, make sure and look me up, will you, pal?
I will. Definitely so. Thank you, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Roger Bossard, the head groundskeeper at Guaranteed Rate Field, the sod father. He is just the best. And I'm sorry if you didn't get through. Don't worry. We'll have him back.